Shalom, good morning. This is Radio Shalom coming to you through Planet FM 104.6. Shalom, Jules.
Good afternoon, Joan.
Shalom, Mike.
Good morning. What time of day
is it? Doesn't even know what time.
Oh, no, he doesn't know where he is. Shalom.
Shalom. Well, this is a Jewish Humor Month, so we've got two
That's
more
funny.
Programs. So I hope you're on your best funny behavior. And I'm going to put a challenge to you. Jules, you once told me that for the number of Jewish people in America, they have the biggest proportion of comics and comedians
per
numbers of community. So I'm taking for you to, representative of comedy amongst our community.
Well, at the start, let me correct you. It was not me that told you. I was purely the messenger because Mike sitting here told me exactly that, and I just passed it on. And, of course, he was right. Yeah. So what you want to do is you want to have the same proportions here in New Zealand as they have in America. Well, I only know two comedians, me and Mark, so that's about 100%.
Okay. So the problem or the challenge is this. I will choose a topic, and you, off your head, if you don't mind me saying that.
Jules certainly
is. I'm off my head already.
You will respond with going through your encyclopedia in your heads of jokes on that topic.
Yeah, but just one rule, please. The rule is, or the purpose of today, is to enjoy yourself, but more so to laugh. So when you hear a joke, and this applies to you, Joan, and to Richard, and to all the listeners out there, you hear a joke, you laugh. Doesn't matter if it's a bad joke, you laugh.
Okay, and we'll be listening to you all.
We will. Yeah,
some of them will be so bad, they'll be laughable.
Talk for yourself.
Okay, so the first thing is there such a thing as Jewish logic?
Well, I think Jewish logic is unique. Let me give you an example. Think about that very famous mural painting of the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci. And ask yourself, who has a meal where everybody's facing the same way? So a man in biblical times, what we would probably call late biblical times, but which the our other friends might call new biblical times, in those times, a man went into a restaurant in Jerusalem and said, I'd like to book a table for 26 people, please. And the restaurant owner said, what's the occasion? And the man said, well, we want to have our first Seder night here. And for our group, this could be the Last Supper. And the owner said, 26, that's a lot of people. To which the man replied, actually, there's 13 of us, but we all wanted to face the same way.
See, I'm laughing, even though that's a pretty poor joke.
Well, I love it.
It's Jewish logic.
Right, let me tell you one about Jewish logic from the fictional people of Chelm. They were the people who were really wise. You know, Chelm means clever. So a man standing in the street, and across the way he sees two people of Chelm, and they are engaging in the following activity. The first one has got a shovel, and he digs a hole in the ground about half a meter deep, and then he stands to one side, and then the second one takes the shovel, and he fills the hole. After about five of these, the guy goes over to the two and he says, what are you guys doing? So they say, well, we're planting trees. So he says, can you explain that logic? They said, yeah, actually there's three of us in this team. This one digs the hole. Then the second one puts the tree in the hole and the third one fills the hole. But the one who puts the tree in the ground is not here today. He's sick. That's no reason why the two of us shouldn't continue working.
Look, let's have a vote. I like my joke better.
Okay, Joan, you've got a casting vote.
I'm not prepared to commit.
Okay, that's logical too.
I think the other thing about logic is that it's often an alternative way of looking at things. Say, an Irishman would say, "I'm tired and I'm thirsty. We must have a whiskey." And the Scotsman will say, "I'm tired and I'm thirsty. I must have a wee dram." And the Jewish man will say, "I'm tired and I'm thirsty. I must have diabetes."
Okay, what about the days of old when you had the king and soldiers on horseback, and he's on his horse and he's casually riding through the forest, and he comes across a tree, and the tree has got a target, you know, with the rings, and it's got a bullseye, and in the bullseye there's an arrow. "Wow," he says, "look at the shooting." And then a few trees further on, exactly the same thing. There's an arrow in the bullseye of the target. 6 trees later, he said, "Wow, this is a great archer. I've got to meet him." They said, no, he's a nerd. You don't want to meet him." "No," he says, "I insist." So they bring this guy, and the king says, "Great shooting. How did you do this?" He says, no, he says, "First I shot the arrow, and then I drew the target around the arrow." Is that logical? Is that, he must have been Jewish, man. He had this Jewish way of logical thinking. Yeah, we agree on that?
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Okay. Have you got any more, Mike?
Yes, a Shmuel's son, Chaim, lives overseas, and Shmuel sends him a gift of a very rare bird. Now, Chaim's not a great expert in ornithology, and for Jules' benefit, ornithology is study of birds.
Study of birds?
Birds, yes.
Of the two-legged or feathered kind?
You know, the most wonderful thing that a Jewish person, mother, can say about his son is that he's got an ology.
You know what the definition of, in Judaism, what's a fetus? When does a fetus active, or when do you say that it's life?
When it goes to university.
When it qualifies as a doctor. That's right. A feasible fetus. Yeah. Sorry for interrupting.
No, that's all right. That's fine. I interrupted myself. So Chaim's no expert in ornithology, birds. So he
what's
thought,
ornithology again?
Not mythology, ornithology. The study of birds. So Chaim thought the bird was a delicacy, something to eat. So when Shmuel called to see how Chaim enjoyed the gift he sent, Chaim replied, "Oh, the bird, I shechted it, it was delicious." And Shmuel cries out, "You mean you ate the bird? Do you know how valuable it was? It could even speak 2 languages." And Chaim said, "So why didn't he say something?"
I think I heard that one with a Jewish mother. It's her birthday, and she's got 3 sons, and the one son gives her a fantastic car. You know, like, it's got everything. It's got hot and cold sliding doors, and it's got a built-in liquor cabinet. And the other son buys her a house in Beverly Hills, and it's a massive house. And the third son doesn't know what to do, so he buys the 2 birds. And she says, "Oh, the car, what am I going to do with the car? Waste of time." And the second one, the house, she says, "It takes me, I'm in the kitchen, somebody rings the doorbell, and I've got tea, and I'm holding the tea, and by the time I get to the front door, the tea's cold. What do I need such a house for?" She says, "But the third one, ah, my boy, you know, I enjoy chicken soup."
I learned something new today. Do you know that it is permissible to fly in an aeroplane on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Did you know that?
No.
It is, because if you put on a seatbelt, you're not flying the plane, you're wearing it.
Hang on, can I just phone my rabbi and check it out? So, that would apply to a car, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
That means I can drive to Shul and Shabbos.
Of course you can. You're wearing it.
All your listeners out there, pay no attention to this talk. Just laugh.
But, Joan, we've got an exciting piece of news. It's that, you know, two Jewish guys get together. What's
Mike
always
going to...
Mike and Jules, when, like us, they always think business ideas. So we decided to form a new business. So we're starting a factory in Israel, up in the north, in the lakes of Nazareth, and we're going to make cheese. And we're going to export Israeli camembert and Edam and Gouda. The only thing we haven't really come up with is a name for the business. What do you think, Jules? What should we call it?
Mm, how about Cheeses of Nazareth?
That'll do.
Richard shaking his head.
I'm glad I got you to deliver that line.
Have we got protection here? So, Jewish mother's logic, she comes Rosh Hashanah, she buys her son a present. And what's the present? It's two absolutely knockout beautiful shirts. And comes first night Rosh Hashanah, and they're having dinner at this mother's house. And the son knocks on the door, and the mother looks at him and she says, "What's the matter? You don't like the other shirt that I bought you."
So, Herschel passes away, sad, sent to heaven. And on arrival, he's met by the archangel, coincidentally named Michael, the Archangel Michael. He met him at the entrance and said, I'm sorry, Herschel, but heaven is suffering from an overload of goodly souls, and we've been forced to put up three additional questions for new arrivals to ease the burden. And Joan and Jules, see if you can answer these questions that Herschel was faced with. The first is, which 2 days of the week start with the letter T? Second question is, how many seconds are there in a year? And the third question is, what was the name of the swag man in Waltzing Matilda? Now, said the Archangel Michael, go away and think about those questions, and when I call upon you, I shall expect you to have those answers for me. And remember, there's only one correct answer for each question. So Herschel went away and gave those three questions a lot of thought, and I expect you guys to do the same. The following morning, the Archangel Michael called upon Herschel and asked if he had considered the questions, to which he replied, I have. Well then, which 2 days of the week start with the letter T? Any thoughts?
Tuesday.
And Thursday.
Herschel said, today and tomorrow. The Archangel Michael pondered this answer for some time and decided that indeed the answer can be applied to the question. Well then, could I have your answer to the second question? How many seconds are there in a year?
I'm a mathematician, but I need my computer, so I'll answer it by saying the number of seconds that there are in a year is the number of seconds that it takes to fill up a year.
That's Jewish logic. Well, Herschel's reply was 12. Only 12, the Archangel Michael explained. How do you arrive at that figure? And Herschel said, there's 2nd of January, 2nd of February, 2nd of March.
It's getting bad.
So the Archangel Michael looked to Herschel and said, I need some time to consider your answer before I can give you a decision. And he walked away shaking his head. A little while later, he came back and he said to Herschel, like, I'll allow your answers to stand, but you need to get the third and final question absolutely correct to be allowed into heaven. Can you tell me the name of the swag man in Waltzing Matilda? And Herschel replied, of the three questions, I found this the easiest to answer. It's Andy.
And Andy?
Andy. That's exactly what Michael said. And so Herschel said, Andy sat Andy watched, Dandy waited till his billy boiled. You'll come waltzing Matilda with me.
Andy.
And Herschel entered heaven.
Good on him.
There you go.
I like that story.
I have no idea what...
Can I use it?
Yeah, yeah. Just okay. Royalty. I have no idea what that's got to do with logic, but there you go.
It's a very logical sequence.
True.
So let me tell you about the logic of a six-year-old, a girl. She's in the class, and the teacher is teaching, and it's to do with religion. And the teacher's not very nice, especially when she says that the story of Jonah is mythical. And she says to the class that the myth is that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish, a whale. But that's not possible, she says, because a whale is a very big fish, but it has a very small throat. And it is not possible to swallow a man. So the little six-year-old girl says, but miss, the Bible says that Hashem sent a whale, a big fish, to swallow Jonah, which he did, and Jonah lived in the inside of the whale for 3 days. And the teacher gets irritated and she says, I told you that the fish has got a very small throat and it's not possible to swallow a man. So the little girl says, okay, when I get to heaven, I will ask Jonah personally. And the teacher says, well, how do you know that Jonah is in heaven? Maybe he went to hell. And the girl says, well, then you can ask him. You know the story, you've got to laugh, even if it's not funny.
That's actually the first time I've heard that one, Jules. Today.
Second time.
It has happened to me that I've told stories a few times. In particular, one Pesach, we had 30 people at our Seder, and I was telling stories. So in the middle of the Seder, I looked at everybody and I said, all those of you who have heard the story that I'm about to tell, hands up. 27 people put their hands up. That's not
before
nice.
You told the story.
The story that I'm about to tell. Nobody knew what I was going to say. 27 people. There were 3 people who hadn't been to our Seder before. So I looked at them and I said, wonderful. You haven't heard the story. I'm going to tell it. And then guess what I did? I told a story that nobody had heard before.
One over on them. So, you see, he has to bring along his audience by giving them a meal.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm not taking that audience again. 27 people tried to shut me up. No ways.
Okay.
Only bloke we know has to pay for his audience.
How about Jewish pragmatism?
Pragmatism. Right. Well,
no, I'm a philosopher. I don't know too much about pragmatism. What is pragmatism? Is that the same as anthropoidal?
There's a story about Jaime, who was a wonderful member of his shul. He'd done every job that they'd ever asked him for. His service to the shul over many, many years was so exemplary that finally the board decided they need to reward him for his services to the shul. So they resolved to send him on an all-expenses-paid trip to New York with a suite at the Waldorf. So he flew first class, a limo took him to the Waldorf, and he was shown to his suite. He went into the bedroom where he found a very wholesome, very attractive young lady waiting for him on the bed, completely déshabillé. That's Yiddish for naked. He goes straight to the phone, calls his rabbi and shouts angrily down the phone, how dare you? What kind of man do you think I am? And then he slammed down the phone. And he turned round to see the young lady out of bed getting dressed. He said to her, what are you doing? She said, I overheard your call and you're clearly upset, so I thought, and he interrupted and he said, look, I'm not Bruegus with you. I'd call that true pragmatism.
But, have you got another
talking about
one?
Birds, that story about the birds. So the rabbi, I'll make this a local story. The rabbi is walking in the area of the shul there by K-Road, and he walks past the house and he hears this, "I'm a hooker, I'm a hooker." So he thinks, "Oh, what is this?" So he goes inside the house, and it is indeed a house of ill repute. And the madam says to him, "Can I help you?" And he says, "You know, I'm walking down the street and I hear this, I'm a hooker, I'm a hooker." And it's not very nice for the ambience. So she says, "Come, I'll show you." So they go into the bedroom, and there's a cage with two birds, and the birds are screeching, "I'm a hooker, I'm a hooker." So the rabbi says, "You know, I've also got two birds. I've also got two parrots, and I have taught them how to daven. And they can do all the prayers, the morning prayer, the midday and evening prayer. They know it all. I'm going to try something which might be good. I'm going to bring my two parrots over." So the next day he arrives with a cage with the two parrots, and they go into the bedroom, and the two parrots of the house, "I'm a hooker, I'm a hooker." And the two parrots in the cage, one says to the other, "Moshe, our prayers have been answered."
So a burglar broke into a house and he starts shining his light around the house looking for valuables, and some nice things catch his eye. As he reaches for them, he hears, "God is watching you." And he startles, he looks around for the speaker, and seeing no one, he starts putting things in his bag and he hears, "God is watching you." This time he sees a parrot. "Who are you?" the burglar says. "Moshe." The bird replied, "My name's Moshe." "Who the heck would name a boy Moshe?" "I don't know," Moshe answered. "I guess the same kind of people that would name a Rottweiler King David."
Take that.
So, you know, God first went to the Egyptians and asked them if they would like a mitzvah. And they said, "What's a mitzvah?" "Well, it's a commandment, like you shall not commit adultery." The Egyptians thought about that and said, no, that would ruin our weekends. So then God went to the Assyrians and asked them if they'd like a mitzvah. And they all also asked, "What's a mitzvah?" He said, "Well, it's a commandment like, thou shalt not steal." And the Assyrians immediately replied, "No way, that would ruin our economy." So finally, God came to us, the Jews, and he asked if we wanted a mitzvah. And we asked, "How much?" And Hashem said, "They're free." So we said, "Cool, we'll have 10.
Take 10, take 2.
Jules, have you got any to add?
There's really an outstanding story about the shamus. Know what a shamus is?
Yeah.
Shamus, a beetle, caretaker in the shul. So the shamus worked in the shul for 14 years. And one day there was a visit from the chief rabbi, and he spoke to the rabbi of the shul, and then he spoke to the shamus, and the rabbi told him that he's such a good man, but he's illiterate. He can't read Hebrew. So the chief rabbi afterwards said to the rabbi, "You cannot do this. You cannot employ a shamus who can't daven, who doesn't know the prayers, who's illiterate." So they fired him. So he went, he was dazed. He'd never done anything wrong in his life. He walked out and he thought, "Well, I've got to do something." What's he going to do? He's going to have a cigarette. Never smoked in his life. So he walked down the street, couldn't find a place to buy cigarettes. So the next day, he went, he told his wife, and they were very upset. But the next day he went to the cigarette wholesalers and he bought one of these trays that you put over your neck, and he bought cigarettes and he put them in the tray. And he stood on the corner there by the shul, and in no time at all, he sold out the whole lot. So he went the next day, bought more cigarettes and sold them. And after a few weeks, he got his wife in the business, and she was doing the same thing. She was standing on another corner selling cigarettes. And after 3 months, they were so busy, they opened up a little stall. You know, one of these things that you see on the side of the road that sell magazines outside a shop. And business was booming. A year later, he had $50,000 in the bank. So the bank called him in and said to him, you know, you got this money in the bank. Don't you want to consider an investment, term deposit? And he said, yeah, good idea. And the bank the bank manager got the accountant in, they filled in the forms, and they put it in front of him, and they said, sign, yes, they put an X. So the bank manager said, you can't write, and you can't read. He said, no. He said, wow, you accumulated all this money. Can you imagine where you would have been if you could read and write? He said, yeah, I'd be in the Shamus. That's actually a story. There's Somerset Maugham wrote the story, a short story called The Verger. The Verger is the Shamus. Mm. And he wrote that about 70 years ago.
Really?
One of his famous short stories. Mm. But we adapted it. That's logical.
Yeah.
Well, you should say... Well,
pragmatic.
Pragmatic.
Yeah.
With thanks to Somerset Maugham.
Thanks to Somerset Maugham. He's still alive.
No.
Well, thanks to him anyway.
He's long gone. I can tell you a story, and you two, Joan and Jules, can do the punchline.
Now we're on the spot.
Okay, so I'm sure you'll work this out. Mm. It's a Jewish doctor. He's going to be knighted by the Queen. At the ceremony, as she touches his shoulder with the sword, he's supposed to recite an ancient Celtic blessing. On the day of his investiture, he's very, very nervous. And as he waits his turn, as several others are knighted before him, and as he listens to them correctly, perfectly reciting the Celtic blessings, he grows more and more nervous. And finally, when he kneels before the Queen and she taps his shoulder with the sword, he completely forgets the Celtic blessing. And he says the first words that come into his head, Manish Tana Halaila Hazeh. Now, you all know what's coming next. The Queen, clearly confused, looked to the crowd and asks,
why is this night different from all other nights?
I told you you'd work it out.
Well, we've got time for two half jokes or one 3-minute joke.
Okay, I've got a very quick one.
It has to be very quick.
Very quick. A Hasidic
Richard's
man.
Richard's giving me.
Do we have to laugh quickly also?
Hasidic man with a long beard, pyres, a kaftan and a shtremel, the big fur hat, walks into a bar with a multicoloured parrot on his head. And the bartender said, where'd you get that? And the parrot says, Brooklyn, there's thousands of them.
Well, that's really funny because this morning I saw a rabbi and he told me that joke. So not you. That's really? An old joke, Mike. I heard it from the rabbi the first time this morning, and now this is old stuff.
Right, we've got time for one more joke.
So a man goes to the doctor and he's really not feeling well. He goes into the doctor's rooms and the doctor says to him, you don't look good. He says, no, I don't feel good. He says, what's wrong with you? He says, well, doctor, I've got this terrible ringing in my ears. And the doctor says to him, well, don't answer it.
Gosh, I wish we hadn't had that extra time.
You see, those are the ones that create the most laughter. Yeah. I'm happy.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, so we're going to end with this.
Yes?
It's a prayer. May you always find reasons to laugh. And don't forget, if you laugh now, when you get older, the wrinkles will be in the right place.
So thank you for listening. And don't forget to listen next Sunday at 10:10 when our comedians will do the second session on a
similar subject.
On another challenge. So... if you've missed this program, you can go to www.planetaudio.org.nz/Radio Shalom. And I was not going to forget to thank our sponsor, Nature Bee. We very much appreciate his sponsorship.